Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1 and we'll just read. We're not going to be in the first three verses for tonight, but we'll just start at verse 1 and read on. Maybe the entire chapter, I don't know, we'll see. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, or nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've given us. Father, thank you for all the things that happened today. Lord, thank you for just allowing us to be in the center of your will, and thank you for guiding our steps. Lord, whether something bad happened today, whether we had just maybe not a good day that we were hoping for, yet it's still a good day because, Father, we are alive in Christ. Lord, we have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, and Father, we get to walk with you, talk with you. Father, we know that we have a place in heaven, and Father, we know that this world is temporal. And we thank you, Father, for the eternal things that we have to look forward to. And we thank you for the eternal things that we've already received, obviously the gift of salvation. But Father, I ask that you would please bless our time tonight. As always, Lord, guide us according to your will. We want Christ to be lifted up. Father, we want you to be glorified. We do want to be drawn closer to you. Father, we do want to hear from heaven tonight. So, Lord, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive. Lord, just the truth of your word. And Father, just ask that you would bless each person here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So going back to verse 1, 2, and 3, tonight just looking and thinking about just continuing to pursue the heavenly things. Because again, we live in a very carnal world, and God calls us not to be carnal Christians. Paul had to write to a church where there was carnality in that church, the Corinthian church, and he kind of rebuked them through the Holy Spirit for their carnality. Then there was another church where he had to kind of spoke on the behalf that they were carnally minded instead of heavenly minded. And we want to make sure that we stay heavenly minded. We want to make sure that we continue pursuing the heavenly things in our life. We know that one day we'll see Christ face to face. We know that we will be with him in eternity. We know everything will be turned around at some moment. We'll get the new bodies. We'll get our glorified bodies and all that good stuff that we are waiting for. But we want to make sure that we continue pursuing the heavenly things while we're here in this world, and we continue growing closer to the Lord, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what other people are doing, other Christians. But we want to purpose within our own hearts that we continue pursuing the things that are godly, the things that will edify Christ, the things that will draw us closer to Him, and the things that will help us be conformed more into the image of Christ so that God is glorified. When you look at verse 1, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he writes to these believers and says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." Now, if you were to go back and read the previous two chapters, he's already recognized the fact that these are born-again believers. So in chapter 3, he's not questioning their salvation, but he's putting a question out there to them that if you are in Christ, then here are some things that you need to do. Here are some things that you need to pursue and to allow to continually be in your heart and on your mind, things that you seek after, things that you crave. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, obviously, right off the bat, we know that Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. We know that He ascended up on high. We know that He is awaiting that trumpet sound for Him to come and get us, and we're looking forward to that day. We're looking forward to a day when everything is set in order and everything is put where it's supposed to be, Christ reigning for eternity. But He says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Again, I think for most of us in here, we're already doing that. That is our heart and our mind, is we're seeking the things of God. But we also got to remind ourselves that, again, we do have an adversary who's always looking for an opportunity to get us off track. He's always looking for an opportunity to shoot his fiery darts at us, as the Bible tells us. Because when you go to Ephesians and you look at the armor of God and you look at the shield of faith, we're told that we're to pick up that shield of faith, because the shield of faith is what's going to quench the fiery darts of the devil. And when you think about pursuing the heavenly things, that's one of the things we have to keep pursuing, is the armor of God. Putting on the armor of God every day having that mindset that, you know what, we are going into a battle zone. We're going into war. And the devil is always, he's there looking for an opportunity to pick apart God's people. Remember, Jesus even told Peter that Satan desired to sift him. But Jesus had prayed for Peter, and when Peter was converted, he was to strengthen the brethren. But Jesus told him that the devil desires to sift him. So we know that our adversary is never going to give up until he is in the lake of fire. He's never going to give up until we are with our Lord in heaven. Because as long as we're here and as long as he is actively able to do what he does, he's going to continue to try to pick apart God's people. He's going to find ways to throw his fiery darts of doubt and disbelief and all the things that he wants to get into the minds of God's people. So as Paul encourages this church and reminds them that basically you are risen in Christ, so continue to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The first thing I want us to think about is continuing to pursue our new position. Continuing to pursue our new position. Because think about this. If you then be risen in Christ. Now, you already have that position as a born-again child of God. I already have that position. But we don't want to forsake that position in Christ that we have. We don't want to neglect it. It's a privilege to have this position in Christ. And we want to continue pursuing it as though we do need to win that position, that we want it to still be a very, very new in our life. We want our hearts to crave it and to want that position and not take it for granted. I want you to look at Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6. Now, you know, thinking about our position in Christ, you know, I have a position in my marriage, and it is the husband. And when I was trying to win my wife over years ago, when we first met, you know, I mean, what does a guy do when he wants to win over a girl? I mean, he puts on cologne, combs his hair. I mean, he really goes above and beyond what he normally does when he really wants to, you know, where he really wants to impress a girl that he wants to marry. You know, once you get that position of husband, our wife, should it stop? Should you stop pursuing that position as a husband or wife? The answer is no. The same with our position in Christ. Some people think, well, once they have the gift of salvation, they have that position of a son or daughter of God, then, okay, that's it. Nothing else I need to do. But obviously, if we want the relationship to flourish and we want to grow closer to the Lord and get to know Christ more, then we really do have to pursue our position in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, look at verse 4 and 5. And I just know at some point I'm going to mess up saying pursuing. I can just feel my tongue wanting not to say that, but to kind of mess it up. I don't know. Anyway, in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So I mean, just again, thinking about this new position we have in Christ, all right, we are told that we are to walk in newness of life. We're to walk in that new position. Again, as a child of God, even Sunday, we talked about being an ambassador, a representative of Christ. It is something that every day we have to pursue. I really think we have to really continually pursue it. I told you I was going to mess it up. Pursue it. Because every day, though today was a new day, yet the position we have in Christ is more important than the position that you may have in your workplace or whatever you do. Because it's a position that obviously glorifies God. It is to edify Christ. I mean, it's to lift up Christ. It's to show others Jesus Christ. And if we stop pursuing that new position, if we stop even thinking about the position we have in Christ, if we stop loving that position we have in Christ, because think about the position we have in Christ. Even as he says in Romans, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, right? We have that newness in life because of Jesus Christ. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I know there's coming a resurrection day when we will get our glorified bodies, but there was a resurrection day when you and I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we were instantly saved. We didn't have to wait until we got to the church house to be baptized. I mean, that moment that you called upon Christ, you know that you were born again. And if you didn't make it to your baptism to be a testimony, to prove, to show the believers that, yes, I have trusted Christ, I'm following Christ in believers' baptism, if you did not make it to your baptism, you would still go to heaven. But there's something about this position. And there are things in this world that are vying for, fighting for, that affection. There should be some affection in us towards the position that we have in Christ, because we're new creatures in Christ. I mean, we have a bright future. And I believe that we need to pursue this new position we have in Christ on a daily purpose, on a daily basis with a purpose, because if we forget the position we have in Christ and we forget the privilege it is that we have and the blessings that we have, that we'll start to neglect the relationship that we have with Christ. We'll start to neglect that position and not really take it serious. And it's a serious position to take because, again, we are representatives of a heavenly city. We are representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Because, again, Paul says here, here in Colossians, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Obviously, if you're a born-again believer, you are risen with Christ. You have this position in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 1 and 2. He says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Again, this new position, reminding ourselves every day that, you know what, I have a position in Christ. I am in Christ. Therefore, my life is to be lived for Christ. It is to be lived in a godly way. I'm not to be living in the old ways that I used to live. And as we read through several verses in Colossians chapter 3, it mentioned some of those old ways. Here, mortify, verse 5. And back in Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But then in verse 8, there are some more things added. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Again, as being in Christ, yeah, we know we're not supposed to fornicate. We know we're not supposed to have inordinate affections and evil concupiscence. We know we're not supposed to covet. But sometimes I think some of God's people forget we're not supposed to show anger or malice. We're not supposed to have filthy communication out of our mouth. Remember, even as we talked about on Sunday, but our speech seasoned with grace. That's why we always have to remind ourselves the position that we have. Again, it's you know, I even think about just sales reps going and they are trying to sell their company's product, trying to sell their, you know, whatever their company is selling or whatever they're doing. They have sales reps to go and represent the company. And the company wants sales reps that are going to represent the company well. And they don't want their sales reps going into a place of business, you know, just using, you know, slang speech and just, you know, cursing like they would if they were at home. But they want them to represent the company well and to talk well and to, you know, win over the customer. Now, we know that we have liberty in Christ. And that liberty in Christ simply means we're free from the bondage of sin. We're free now to serve Christ, where once we were not free to serve Christ because we were in chains and bondage to sin. But now, as we are the children of God and we have this position in Christ, we want to represent this position very well. In pursuing it every day, reminding ourselves every day, you know what? I am a child of God before anything else. I'm a child of God before I am a, you name whatever it is you are, before I'm a husband, before I'm a wife, before I'm an employee at FedEx, before I'm an employee wherever you work, whatever. First, we are God's people. And that should be the mindset. That, you know what, honestly, that when I go into FedEx, yes, they have rules on how you're to conduct yourself in the workplace. But really, what should be guiding me to conduct myself very well should be the fact that I'm a child of God. The fact that, you know what, the Bible is what I stand on. The Bible is what I base my life upon. So as we pursue these heavenly things that Paul is talking about in Colossians 3, the first one is, again, every day pursuing our new position in Christ, reminding ourselves, you know what, I have this position. I'm supposed to represent Christ very well, which goes hand in hand with our relationship, look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Again, you know this verse. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It talks about our relationship with Christ. Again, pursuing our relationship every day. That the only reason why we have the position we have in Christ is because Christ was willing to fulfill the Father's will. He was willing to go to the cross for you. He was willing to lay down his life for you. He was willing to live a perfect, sinless life for you and for me. But again, pursuing our new position, this relationship that we have, and the fact that we are in Christ and we want to represent him well, and it is something to think about every day and everything that we do. Again, I know I can think of plenty of Christians who don't. But I'd rather think of myself and what I should do. You can always think of somebody that's not doing what they should be doing. But when we draw the circle around ourselves, then we have to ask the question, what am I doing? Am I following my position in Christ? Am I truly exhorting that position over anything else? Am I exhorting my relationship in Christ over anything else? And if the answer is no, then everything else that we are lifting up higher, I guess you could say, or promoting more, obviously you'll see that there's problems with it. Because as the children of God, as God's people, as long as we are promoting our relationship in Christ and we are working on that relationship, then truly everything else will fall right where it needs to be. I want you to look in at Colossians chapter 3. Because when you think about, I don't know, maybe this should be a Sunday morning message instead, but I don't know. Because, I mean, when you just think about, again, being risen with Christ, your position in Christ, there is so much evil promoted in our world. So much evil promoted in our world. I mean, just homosexuality, everything that's anti-God, that's being pushed upon Christians. That Christians, God's people, those that are Bible-believing Christians, I'll put it that way, because not everybody is a Christian that claims to be a Christian. But Bible-believing Christians are being told you need to be tolerant. Now, they've been telling us that for a while, and that's nothing new. But the push is getting harder and harder and harder these days. And every child of God, every Bible-believing Christian has to already have purposed in their heart how they're going to live their life for the Lord as the world pushes on them and tries to back you into a corner and tries to force you to believe what is a lie. And I believe that in these verses in Colossians 3, is what will help us to determine, well, you know what? I am a child of God, so I'm going to stand upon what's true. Regardless of what society promotes, regardless of what somebody else says is right, if it's wrong according to Scripture, then I'm going to stick with Scripture. But there are several, a lot of Christians who have and will bend their convictions in order not to have to defend them, in order not to have to fight against those that are against truth. But when we continue to remind ourselves of the position we have in Christ, then we know that God's not going to leave us to defend ourselves by ourselves. I mean, it's just You know, it's just a lot of garbage in the world, things that are just being promoted. Are we to love the sinner? Absolutely. But we're to hate the sin. And then, if ye then be risen with Christ, it's far better to live in Christ than it is to try to live separated from Christ. I'll just say it that way. It's a lot better to live in Christ than to live separated as a child of God. Again, Paul's writing to a church of believers, not to lost people. When you look at Colossians 3, look at verse 1 again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And you think about just seeking those things which are above. If you be in Christ, seek those things which are above. He's talking about the heavenly things. And as the people of God, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, as someone who has a new position in Christ, I am. For the rest of my life, I am supposed to be seeking heavenly things, things that are right, things that are holy, things that are pure, things that are godly. When you think about just even the word seek those things which are above. I mean, that word seek, it means crave. What do people do that, I mean, you see a lot of people that have different cravings in this world. And they will just, they'll go overboard in the things that they're seeking after. But you think about it, as a child of God, we should never lose our craving for the things of God. We should never lose our craving for God's Word and for the truth of God's Word. Not just to have it and to know, okay, yeah, I've got the Bible and I've got God's Word, but to crave it. Remember, Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them up. I mean, he had consumed God's Word. I mean, he craved God's Word. He just didn't crave it. I mean, he took it and he consumed it. I mean, think about other heavenly things. Seek those things which are above. I mean, things that God's given us that obviously are godly. I mean, prayer, we know. There's still power in prayer. But I tell you what, I mean, the devil just continues. I don't know about you, but he just continues to fight against me and to fight against my wife and to fight against our family as we try to live for God. Because the Bible says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, that's not just persecution from the government. I mean, that's persecution from the devil where he just fights. He resists the things you do because he's trying to wear you down. He's trying to get you frustrated. He's trying to get you to the point of just giving up the fight. And you think about Paul. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. He said, he even told Timothy, I've finished my course. Now we know, I mean, just the glimpse of Paul's life we have in Scripture, we know he didn't have it easy. Because the Christian life is not easy. But it's a life worth living with Christ. Now obviously when a child of God tries to live the Christian life separated from Christ, doing their own thing, it's very difficult. I mean, life is already difficult as it is. But when you're walking with the Lord and you're relying on the Lord, then man, it's a lot easier to go through life. It's a lot easier to face the trials, though they're still hard. They still have their temptations and their testings, yet we know that our Heavenly Father will give us the grace to endure. When you think about pursuing just heavenly things, again, just the prayer, God's Word, I mean, again, a closer walk with God. I mean, just God working in your life. I have several prayer requests that it seems like God didn't answer. It seems like He's not answering them. And the Holy Spirit had to remind me, but think about all the ones He has answered. Because the devil always wants you to focus on what God seemingly hasn't done, instead of praising Him for what He has done. And He's done great things. And I have to remind myself at times as well that, you know, yes, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. And and it'll be answered, and all of that. He said, ask in my name, it'll be done. And I'll be honest, sometimes I forget, God has his own timing, even though I say it from the pulpit. God's got a perfect timing, yet when you're the one praying for it, you want the timing to be now, especially when it's been a while. What I'm saying, though, is we our adversary is going to continue throwing his fiery darts to try to weaken our faith, to try to get us to give up on God and just, you know, well, I'm saved on my way to heaven, so I'm tired of fighting. But again, we're told in Scripture, fight the good fight of faith. God's given us that shield of faith to deflect the fiery darts of the devil and to continue pursuing heavenly things, continue pursuing things that are right, things that are godly, allowing our life to be affected by good things. Again, when you think about it, and I don't think anybody in here has a problem with it, but you know, there are Christians that believe you can still watch rated R movies. And there are some that think you can watch X and double X and triple X and be okay. But those things we know are not godly. They do not promote Christ. In fact, you think about, and we got to be careful with our kids. I mean, we're the only ones in here still raising little kids. And we don't allow them to watch things that we know are not right. I mean, they've got a couple things we'll let them watch, like Clifford, Wildcrats, I mean, just things like that. But do you realize that even PBS has shows on there that promotes homosexuality? PBS for kids. They have cartoon characters that are homosexual, and they promote that. Why? Because they're going after the young minds. They're going after the kids to try to twist their mind. I mean, even the kids that are being raised in Christian homes. I mean, it's just the devil is just, he's got an all-out attack on the family, on kids. Not just Christian kids. What I'm saying is, even with us adults that know better, we've got to make sure that we are seeking godly things. That what we're listening to, what we're looking at are things that promote godliness, things that will draw us closer to Christ. Again, as Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, okay, if you're a child of God, then we should seek the things above. We should seek heavenly things. We should understand that this world is not my home. This is a carnal world. This is a temporal world. This world as a whole does not promote godly things. Now, praise the Lord, there are some things, obviously, that the church that preaches and teaches the truth of God's word from God's word promotes good things, but obviously not everything in this world is going to promote a good, godly lifestyle. And we've got to pursue that. We've got to pursue those heavenly things and allow our heart to continue to crave the things of God, the things that are going to draw us closer to God, the things that are going to edify Christ in our life and help us to become more like Christ. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. And just thinking about the promises of God's word and just, again, the promises just of heavenly things as well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, but this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I mean, again, just thinking about the fact that we are to be seeking heavenly things, reminding ourselves of the position we have in Christ because of his sacrifice and our sins being paid for, that as 1 John says, ye sin not, that we don't continue in the things that are not promoting Christ and the things that are not drawing us to the Lord. Music is just Music is that thing that is a touchy subject with people, just like money is. Money's a touchy subject. Music is a touchy subject. I've had Christian relatives get upset about their music. If the music promotes Jesus Christ, speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ, speaks of salvation, and I'll say it's got the right tune to it, you know what godly music is. Because godly music lifts the spirit, it lifts the soul, it speaks to the heart. I remember I had a Christian friend. I believe he's saved. I just believe he's in the wrong denomination. I mean, he proclaims Jesus Christ. I mean, he was a witness in high school. I mean, he took this kid in the cafeteria that's all dressed in black hair. I mean, everybody knew that he was on the dark side. And this friend of mine, just he would always sit down with him at lunchtime to talk to him about Jesus. But his way, but again, he there's different music that he listens to and stuff that I don't think is right. And I was into the heavy metal stuff as a teenager. This was before I was saved. And he was trying to convert me. And he said, well, you know, he took me to the Christian bookstore one day to get me some Christian music to replace my heavy metal music. He said, oh, man, you'll like this stuff. I mean, this stuff, this is what you need. Okay. So I bought a cassette. Young kids probably don't know what a cassette is, but I bought a cassette of this music. I mean, it had a nice title. I mean, the band was called Deliverance. I popped it in, listened to it. I had to pull it back out. Look, I thought I had my Metallica tape in there. The music was no different. You couldn't even understand the words they were saying. Now, if you read on their cover, the lyrics, okay, I think it mentioned Jesus a couple of times, but it was like no different than the music I was listening to. What I'm saying is, obviously you know that to replace the bad with good, it has to be purely good, godly music. Everything. Again, as we continue to pursue our position in Christ and reminding ourselves who we are in Christ, it should give us a craving to seek the things that are godly, the things that are going to promote Christ in our life, the things that we can share with our kids, with our grandkids, family members, and so on. But as God's people, as the world gets worse and worse, we have to continue to pursue heavenly things. And again, just as we're reminded just in these two verses of Hebrews chapter 10 and 1 John chapter 2, our sins have been paid for. Our sins have been paid for. So why even walk in those past sins anymore? Why even desire those anymore? We need to be craving and seeking after the godly heavenly things that God has placed in our heart. No, He's placed a new song in our heart, right? I mean, One scripture song I just love singing. I sing it all the time. I say all the time. Probably not as often as I should, but even this morning on the way to work, I was singing it, and that was Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I mean, I even sang Revelation 4:11. I mean, just sing. I mean, God just really has put a new song in our heart because what? Man, our heart is drawn to Him. And we know that our life has been changed in a great and powerful way, and we know that this world is not our home. But we don't want to allow ourselves to be affected by the carnality in this world and by the ungodliness. We want to continue moving forward. We want to continue pursuing heavenly things, things that really do make an eternal difference in our life. Look back, if you will, if you're in Hebrews, go back to Colossians 3. Almost done, a few more minutes. Colossians chapter 3. Again, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, he just reminds us that what has What should have our heart's desire? What should have our devotion? What should have our love? And off the bat, you know it's Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, when you think about, as I was reading this again and came across, where Demas had forsaken Paul. He had forsaken the ministry. He was a fellow soldier. He was a fellow laborer. He was a traveling companion of Paul. And yet Demas, Paul had to sadly write of Demas that he had forsaken him, having loved this present world. Now, Demas allowed his affection to be drawn away from the things of God and given over to the things of this world. And many Christians have fallen into that trap. Many Christians have fallen into that trap. And we have to continue using the shield of faith, continue walking, I'll say uprightly in our position in Christ, really looking at our position and loving the position and honoring the position that we have in Christ, knowing it's nothing we did to gain it, obviously because of God's love and dying for our sins, and we've been given this position in Christ. But we need to pursue it every day and keep our focus on the things that are of God. Things that are of God. Because we want to finish our course well. We want Christ to be lifted up. We want others to be helped. We want others to see Christ in us and even ask, again, of the reason of the hope that lies within us. But we have to continue in this new perspective that he's given us as his children. Set your affection on things above. The fact that he uses the word set, because it's not an automatic. Now, the day that you and I, the day that you got saved, the day that I got saved, our focus was on the cross. And some way or another, your focus was on the cross because you were faced with that decision to either put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary, or to keep walking and living in your own sins and trying to live your own life. So the day that you and I put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we were focused on Jesus Christ. And I can attest that over the years, so that focus has, you know, because you're in this life, you have to bring yourself back in and say, no, I'm going this direction the way that Christ wants me to go. Because there's always something, whether it's family, whether it's a job, whether it's doing things, recreation. I mean, it's amazed me over the years just how people will put family, recreation, jobs, and other things before God. Because they're not setting their affection on things above. Remember what Jesus said? He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is it that you value the most in your life? What is it that you treasure the most? What is it that really has your love and your affection? That's where your heart's going to be. And we do. We want it to stay in the things of God. We want to stay in prayer, in God's word, in fellowship with him. We want to stay focused on the new life that he's given us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A couple more verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Staying focused on the new life that he's given us in Christ. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Again, it's not that family is not important. Family is important. In fact, God gave me my wife. God gave me my kids. But you know what? If God's not first in my life, I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good father. And neither can you as a mother yourself or grandmother. I mean, God has to be first in order for us to fulfill anything else that he gives us in our life. But being focused on the new life, 2 Corinthians 4, look at 16 and 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Again, it's just stopping right there. Again, you know the best way to renew your inner man is through the Word of God, feeding yourself the Word of God. It's not feasting on man's philosophy. It's not just listening to somebody preach. I love listening to preachers preach. But if I'm not feeding myself the Word of God, then I'm malnourished. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to desire the things of God. I'm not going to love the things of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And focusing on the new life that He's given us, that new position that we have, and even the new purpose that we have in Christ, seeking those things which are above, seeking after our prayer time, seeking after our Bible reading time, seeking after our fellowship with God, and just enjoying the presence of God. But not only do we have to focus on the new life, but also forsaking the old life, because set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, again, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Again, daily evaluating ourselves, what has control of my heart? What does my heart crave the most? I have somebody in my life that I've often prayed and asked God to help me to be like. Very godly man who went home to be with the Lord today. And he was my pastor. My first pastor in Wisconsin, I should say, was just under his leadership just a short time, but he made such an impact on my life. And just thinking about him today as he's with his Lord and Savior. The fact is, when he found out just a short while, it was just a few weeks, wasn't it? A few weeks ago on a Wednesday that I mentioned Pastor Bob Weiss being diagnosed with cancer. It's already in his bones and not much time, and he goes home to be with the Lord today. But after he found out, "I'm ready to go." He told all his family members, "I'm ready to go." I mean, he'd been here for a while on this earth and serving the Lord and just making an impact in people's lives for the cause of Christ. I mean, I just think about, you know what? His heart was really in the things of God. I mean, you could tell his heart was all about loving people and having compassion towards people just like Jesus. If our heart is in tune with God, if our heart, the affections of our heart, are right with God, it's going to help us to keep living for Him, to keep walking with Him, and to fight the good fight of faith. Because again, if my heart is filled with all the things of the world, all the fun that the world offers, then the things of God are going to grow dim and they're not going to be so satisfying. That's why we have to forsake the old life, because the old life is always trying to creep back in. The devil's always trying to dig up those old bones, trying to dig up the old you, always trying to latch back on. But according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, yet we have the power of Christ in us to obviously resist those temptations and to allow our heart affection to really love the things of God. Again, because I just want God to speak to our hearts tonight, because you just think about how crazy things are getting. The carnal Christian, the feeble Christian, the weak Christian are not going to make it. I mean, not make it. They'll make it into heaven if they're born again. But they won't make it through the trials of this life if they don't truly rely on Jesus Christ and truly allow their hearts to be affected by the Word of God. I'm not saying that we're perfect. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. But if we think within ourselves that we're doing pretty good, that I have a real close walk with the Lord, and I really love the things of God, we can't think for a second the devil's not going to try to derail us. We have to continue purposefully seeking heavenly things, seeking God's way, seeking things that are going to draw us closer to Him and conform us more into the image of Christ, not just appearance-wise, but mindset. Having the mind of Christ, having the heart of Christ, knowing that this world is getting more wicked and we want to be found faithful at the coming of our Lord and Savior. I think on a Wednesday night, it's a great reminder for us that even though we live in this sin-cursed, wicked world, and even though society pushes their agenda, we can still stand strong upon the promise of God's Word, and we can still grow to be strong believers in Christ, where we're not swayed to the left or to the right, but we stay on the straight and narrow path that God's placed our feet upon and keep our focus on the author and finisher of our faith. We want to be found faithful. So we got to remember these things and allow Christ to continue working in our life.